Blog Talk Radio.
Much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by 1-800-DIALDJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro areas, check out 1-800-DIALDJs.com or call 1-800-DIAL-DJs for a real good time. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Only one of the three of us living in the Mr. Media residence is organized. The other two, not so much. It's a constant pressure point, too, where the one is constantly picking up after the rest. The other two complain they don't have any room, don't know where anything is, can't find something important at a crucial moment. And if this sounds like your home and your life, let's work together today to do something about this. Joining me today is Georgine Lockwood, author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Organizing Your Life, now in its fifth edition. And I will say this, there is a ray of hope in the Mr. Media home. One of the two non-organized entities here pounced on Lockwood's book when it arrived and immediately started babbling about all the great ideas found within it. Time will tell whether they take it, whether they take, or get left in a pile somewhere else. Georgine, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
Well, first, here's a little hint. I'm not the one with organizational issues.
Okay.
we'll just let the other two go unnamed.
It's always the other guy.
unless it's not a guy. Exactly, yes. Is it common that men and women with different organizational skills and inclinations marry and reproduce?
Well, if any time you have more than one person in a space, you're going to have different goals, different styles. What may look like disorganization to one person might actually work for the other, but as you describe it, that the people in your household are often not able to find things and frustrated, sounds like they could use a little help.
Seems like that, yeah, doesn't it?
My husband and I, by the way, also are very different in the way we organize ourselves. He's a collector, big time, and we often have to negotiate space and how,
really?
What, you know, and set limits with each other. Sure.
These seem to be such different types of people, but is that what attracts each other? Is that what attracts us to each other, or is that just incidental in life?
You know, I think mostly, you know, when we fall in love with someone, that's not usually something we check off on our list. I wonder how organized they are. It's usually other things that attract us to them, and those issues often come up later in the relationship. Although, if the person really has some serious issues, it can come up right away and be an impediment to the relationship or a constant issue. But I don't think it's what we usually think about when we make our list of qualifications for our mate.
When did you realize that you and your husband had perhaps different concepts of what qualified for organized and not? Or was that not an issue?
Well, you know, with us it was kind of interesting. We married, this is a second marriage, and we married later in life where both of us had full households.
Hmm.
We were merging. His previous wife had died of cancer, so he had a completely outfitted household, and I did. So we began, really, our relationship with some of those things because we had to literally decide how we were going to merge those two households. And we did kind of see differences in the things that we valued and our sentimentality level, I would say. My husband's very sentimental and likes to keep lots and lots of reminders of his family and his past, and I tend to be a little more moderate in those things. So, you know, we did a lot of back and forth, and I would call it negotiating. I like to tell the story. When I first wrote this book in 1996, my husband works at home, and so do I. And his shop area, he's a leather worker, is pretty, to my mind, pretty disorganized. And but it works for him. He usually knows where things are, and he manages to do his work. However, when I got the contract to do the book, I started ripping apart basically every room in the house, trying to make it better and use the things that I was learning to improve our situation. And when I got to his shop, he stood in the doorway with his arms across the doorway and said, "You're not getting in here." And I said, okay. But that has to be, you know, we have to set limits with each other. And you organize that the way you want. You make it work for you. I won't touch it. But the common areas of the house, we need to work on together. And that's basically what we did.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm probably a little bit like your description of your husband in that way, in that I probably keep a lot of things that I find sentimental. I used to collect a lot of paper type things. I don't really do that so much anymore. But I've always been extremely neat and organized about it. Not anal about it, but just, you know, I know where things are and I can find them. I don't worry about whether they're in alphabetical order or if they're piled correctly. But I know where they are, and they're pretty neat. But I live in a household of folks who just can't do that sort of thing, you know?
Do you have a system for retrieving the things that you keep? I mean, it sounds like you have some sort of a system. You're saying it's not alphabetized, but
what is
your system?
I remember where I put things, and I put them – you know, if it's certain types of books, they're generally in one place. Other types of things are in another place. And, you know, I don't find it that complicated.
So you group like things together.
Yeah.
You put things together that are similar.
Yeah.
Is that what the other people in your household tend to do or not?
They don't do anything. Things land where they land and they leave them there pretty much. So
you're doing this interview, but you said that when the book came into the house, at least one other person in the house was very interested in it.
Yeah. My wife actually just was fascinated that anyone thought about organizing stuff and lives. She thought this was fascinating, and I was very excited. I tried to contain my excitement that she was interested in reading and learning from it. And I'm hoping she won't listen to this particular interview and hear me referring to her. But yeah, you know, it was so mum's the word, okay?
Well, I will say this: I would emphasize for her. I hope she will put her emphasis to begin with on the early part of the book, the first few chapters, because it's all about why. Just to say to someone, you know, you're really disorganized, and I wish you'd. You know, I wish you clean up your act. That doesn't cut it. The person who you'd like to see change their ways has to have a reason for themselves, a purpose in getting organized, and it has to be meaningful for them. So that's why I devoted the first part of the book and spent a lot of time going through, you know, how did we get here? How did you get where you are? What are the factors that influence the way you handle stuff and time in your life? And what would you like to see different? And that motivation has to come from the individual. Sometimes there'll be an incident or a trend in our lives. Something happens where we say, you know, I've got to make a change. You know, you miss an important appointment or you lose important documents or you know, you can see where maybe your job, you're not functioning as well as you could in your job because of your disorganization. You begin to see that there's a real problem, and that's the early part of your motivation. But truly, it goes a lot deeper than that. And what do you want for your life? How do you want your life to look? What do you want to do with your time if you had more time? What would give you more enjoyment in life? What matters to you? What do you want for the future? By doing those kinds of exercises and really looking at how you got where you are and what you want to change, the whole organization process takes on a much deeper meaning.
So, Georgine, when you took on this this assignment to first write this book, did you see yourself as becoming a counselor in addition to just having some good systems for organization, or was that a planned part of the book?
It isn't. I've met a lot of professional organizers. In fact, I hired some, actually two people when I was writing the book. I joined a National Association of Professional Organizers and kind of looked into that, and I said, you know, that's really not me. I'm a writer by trade, I'm a journalist and a writer. Interesting story, the book came to me. This was not a proposal that I put out as a writer, which I often do. I write book proposals and write books for a living. This was one that came to me. And I remember when my agent proposed it to me, and I said, well, gee, I'm not a professional organizer. In fact, I have some organization challenges of my own. And I said, however, what a great way I can use this project to become an expert. And I think one of the reasons that the book has done so well and is in its fifth edition is I don't set myself up as, you know, I'm organized, so you do what I do, and you'll be organized too. I relate to the reader, and that it is an ongoing process, that I do have, there's areas in my life that are very hard for me, paper being one of them, being a writer, I collect paper. But I use the book as an opportunity to create those systems for myself, and it's an ongoing process. I'm constantly refining it, and it was one of the greatest opportunities in my writing career to be able to do this book, because I've learned so much from it. But there are wonderful professionals out there that you can hire. If you find that it's just too big a job to do on your own, or you need somebody to keep you honest and keep you on track, there's some great people out there you can hire to do that.
And which is the bigger challenge, do you find, in the time you've been doing this, organizing our stuff or organizing our brains?
Well, I think they're sort of organically joined together. Again, that's why I think it's so important to do the brain work in the first few chapters of the book, the goal setting, the motivating factors for you, looking at what your obstacles are, kind of analyzing your childhood. And I mean, I don't want to get too heavy on this, but that is part of, well, it's part of it. You know, how did you grow up, and when did this start, and were you born this way, or did you learn it from your parents? Or in my case, and I talk about it in the book a little bit, I had a very, very organized, I call her born organized, mother, who looked at me and said, what's the matter with you? you're so messy. Whereas my dad was kind of more like me, kind of a creative person, and when he was working, he'd have piles all over the place, and my mother we both drove her nuts. Where did you get your ideas about what's neatness, what's messy, what's creative, just where your concepts come from. Also analyzing a little bit what the outside influences in your life are now, including the media, and I have a little exercise in the book where you analyze your buying habits for a week. You know, how often do you go shopping? When you go into a store, what did you go in there for and what did you come out with? You know, what are your weaknesses when it comes to the clothes? You know, a lot of women, it's shoes. what's going on here? Start to actually be conscious of how stuff gets in your life. And that's the brain work you're talking about. You know, does your brain come first or the stuff comes first? I think they're linked. And you know, what is the meaning of stuff in your life? Is it going to make you successful? If you think you have certain things, you'll be, you know, more successful or prettier, sexier, you know, what's going on? And I think if you do that analytical work first, your efforts at being organized will be more long-lasting and more, you know, again, like I said, organic, kind of really more a part of you and your life, rather than adopting somebody else's system. I mean, there's certain processes and systems that you know, work well, sorting things and, you know, certain systems you can adopt from other people, but I think it's really important that your motivations be clear, your commitment be clear, and that you adapt those systems to who you are.
Well, let's get to some specifics from the book. And I can kind of follow your lead on this, but what are some of the major tips that you suggest in the Complete Idiot's Guide to Organizing Your Life? You know, where does a person who's completely disorganized, where should they start, I guess?
Okay, good question. I like that question. Pick the thing that aggravates you the most, that gets in your way the most. For me, the first edition of the book, the first time I wrote the book, the thing that was getting in my way the most was my finances. And it wasn't a matter of, you know, not having enough money coming in to pay the bills, but just having no system to handle the paper, to pay the bills, to prepare for tax time. It was just it was a constant aggravation. And I actually was being penalized for my disorganization in that area because I would pay late fees and, you know, not because I didn't have the money in the checkbook, but because I just wasn't getting to it. So that was the thing that I went to first, and the very first time I wrote the book. And that might not be might not be the area that aggravates you the most or causes you the most stress. I often say to people who say, "Well, where should I start in my house? What room should I start with?" And I often say, I think the bedroom. I think that what's going to give you the most peace, what's going to make the biggest impact first. And if you're going to bed every night in a pile of rubble, and you're waking up every morning in a pile of rubble, I think that's probably one of the first places to start. Create an island, create an area for yourself. It may be just a drawer or a countertop. Begin somewhere. It depends on where you're at and how totally. I've been watching the show Hoarders on television.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at something like that, it's, wow, where do you begin? Well, you begin in a corner. You begin on a couch. You fix the couch so someone can sit on it. You know, remove the stuff from the kitchen so you can actually use the stove, I mean, when it's that extreme. But if for most people, it's simply, you know, the area that causes the most aggravation and stress every day. Pick the thing that just, if you could fix that, if you could get that straightened out, wow, you'd feel it every day.
And I'm guessing a big part of that is because that's the room that you wake up in. That's the room you go to sleep in at night. You start there, you end there. You better be comfortable and have...
It's where you nourish your soul. And I really, I'm not saying that that's absolutely the first place to start, but I'd like to see you have a nice, comfortable, peaceful place to put your head down at night. And we could begin there. But, you know, maybe that's not the thing that you need to do most. Only you can decide that. And there is a whole series of questions and exercises in the beginning of the book to help you determine what that area might be.
Is it very likely it's going to be a particular, it might be a room, especially if you're talking about the house. It might be that it's the bedroom because you start and end the day there. Maybe it's the kitchen because you really like to cook, but you get aggravated because you can never find the things that you need to make it a happy experience.
Or maybe you have a goal or there's been a change in your goals. Let's say you have a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And something's happened. You've had some heart problems or blood pressure problems, and the doctor's saying to you, you got to do something now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, well, that may be an area you want to focus on and say, how can I create a space and a system in this area that will support me in what I need to do to make my life, to meet my goals or to make my life better? So the way a kitchen would be organized, if you had that health issue, might be very different than if you were starting a catering business.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's always about defining your purpose. Organizing just on the surface, I don't think, in my experience, doesn't last. But knowing what your goals are, knowing what your goals are and why you're doing it helps do that. Make it lasting.
What kind of mistakes do people make when they're trying to get organized? Some common things that you see happening over and over again with people who they say, well, I've tried to get organized, but it's not working. What am I doing wrong?
Oh, gosh. Well, they try to do too much. That's an easy one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that happens to an awful lot of people. They, for example, they'll take everything out. Everything out of the closet, for example, and not actually have set aside enough time, not have thought ahead of how they were going to go about it. The other thing that happens is people get overwhelmed easily, and it's often a good idea to have somebody to work with you, if not a professional organizer, a buddy. Someone who's kind of working out the same issues or just a good friend, somebody who's supportive and say, you know, I'm going to take an hour a day or, you know, a half a day, and this is what do I want to accomplish, and I'd like you to sort of stand by my side and keep me going. For some people, that big a chunk, that long a period of time is overwhelming. So 15 minutes. Small increments. Take a little kitchen timer and set it for 15 minutes. You've always got 15 minutes here and there. Pick a drawer, pick a cabinet, pick one small manageable goal and just build on that.
I'm thinking that some people probably do not want to bring a friend into this because they'd be embarrassed to acknowledge how disorganized they actually are.
Right, that's definitely possible, although their friends probably know.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to hide. But in that case, you might actually want to bring in a professional person who can, that's one of the things that professional organizers really do very well, is help you identify the goals that will make the most difference and divide those goals into increments, and because you're paying for the time that person is devoting, sometimes you make more progress that way because you've actually mm-hmm. made a monetary commitment. But, you know, even I keep a journal, kind of an organizing journal, that mm-hmm. I keep my goals and progress in there, and sometimes that works for people very well. That they write their goals, that they actually make a contract, a very defined contract with themselves, date it, sign it, you know, put your goal in there and when you're going to do it by, and keep that in a notebook and check back with yourself regularly. And the other thing that's really important to do is to reward yourself when you actually do meet that goal.
Go on, buy more stuff.
Buy more stuff. I like non-consumable, I mean, actually consumable rewards, you know, things like a movie or going out to dinner or getting your, you know, a manicure or a massage, or make a list of those things and keep that in your planner. I have a day runner or a planner, calendar kind of thing. I have a list of my rewards in there. And when I've done something and I want to pat myself on the back, I go, so I think I'll do that one.
I like that. And, you know, you mentioned a little while ago that I think you said that in your case, you were that financial organization was very important. And I have to admit, I was a little surprised that there was a chapter towards the back on guerrilla budgeting. Is that really something that people have trouble organizing? I mean, gosh, the money's coming in, the money's going out. Aren't people keeping track of it?
No. Just ask most accountants what come into their office at tax time. How many people bring them a shoebox loaded with papers? And again, there's another instance where it's going to cost you time. Your lack of preparation and organization can cost you time. You know, in our case, in my case personally, my husband and I each have a business. I also process the papers for my 91-year-old mother and my mentally disabled brother, so I'm keeping many accounts, and I have a lot of paper to manage. So it may depend on how complex your finances are. Mine are pretty complex, so they can very easily get away from me, and I don't think I'm that unique. I think a lot of people have, you know, multiple financial areas that they're juggling. But again, that might not be your area. Maybe your life does fit in a shoebox, and it's very, very easy to manage. In my case, it wasn't. So that was very important that I get it under control. And, you know, knowing things, a lot of people, too, when it comes to organizing their financial life, here again, they don't really know what their assets are, how much is coming in and going out. They just, you know, they kind of, there's still money left at the end of the month, so I guess I'm okay. they haven't set financial goals for themselves. I would say when it comes to budgeting, I bet 9 out of 10 people don't have a real budget, don't function with a real budget.
Well, just looked over at the time. Folks, listen, you can find Georgine Lockwood's new book, or the fifth edition of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Organizing Your Life, in great bookstores everywhere, or, of course, you can always order it on MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Georgine has a website. It is GeorgineLockwood.com, all solid, one word, GeorgineLockwood.com. Georgine, can folks find you on Twitter or Facebook as well?
I don't have a public Facebook page, but I'm planning on it. I have a private one for friends, but I am going to explore the social media the way you seem to have really made a lot out of that, and I need to get with the times on that one.
A new goal. Get organized online. There you go.
a new goal. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay. All right. So, folks, you can find Georgine again at GeorgineLockwood.com, or if you're on the professional networking site, LinkedIn, you can find her there. I'm there, too, for that matter.
I also have a blog called SimpleWise. SimpleWise.blogspot.com.
Very good. Writing it down so we can pass it on. Georgine, it was a lot of fun to have you on here. Fascinating, very useful book. And thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Very, very welcome. I enjoyed it. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Same here. Take care.
Okay, you too. And good luck with those folks.
Thank you.
Oh, house.
Yeah. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, for more original interviews with the authors of From the Complete Idiot's Guide, you can surf over to our main website at www.mrmedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.